this Sri Damodarashtrika, found in the Padma Purana, is an eternally perfect prayer which manifests through the mouth of Satyavrata Muni. When he was in conversation with Narada Muni and Shonaka Rishi. So it's not that the prayer was created by Satyavrata Muni. The prayer is eternal, just as the Lord's leelas are eternal. It's a very personal prayer, because ultimately everything is personal. Therefore, there can be no process of spiritual realization that doesn't take into account utter personalism. Now, this utter personalism is what conditioned souls are afraid of, because in material life, personality and individuality lead to so much suffering, although there is some promise that there'll be happiness and fulfillment through personalism and individual expression. After many births and deaths, the conditioned soul becomes weary of personalism and thinks that the solution is to find some impersonal spiritual reality. This is a great mistake. And we should think carefully how much of our approach to Krishna consciousness is unconsciously founded on impersonalism. That is, I just want relief from material existence and to be caught up in something spiritual. I don't know what it is, but just give me freedom from pain and put me in contact with something spiritual. This is impersonalism. Although it'll get you into the door as a neophyte in Krishna consciousness, but you have to make further progress. Your progress can be judged by how you don't feel uncomfortable hearing the personal pastimes of the Lord, and in fact you grow more and more comfortable with them so that they become your most intimate companion. When that happens, then you know that you're properly advancing in bhakti yoga. At first, in the beginning of our Krishna consciousness, the personal pastimes of the Lord, all the details, what Krishna does with his devotees, it may seem super fantastic. Until we recognize that Krishna is acting on all the desires we have, but we fail so horribly in trying to execute those desires. And Krishna succeeds so gloriously. Now in this Damodar Leela, Krishna is not showing his opulences. He's not showing his inconceivable attributes in a way that ordinarily people would call a miracle. You see, the sweetness of Vrindavan is that there, the Lord always maintains his posture as a resident of the village, as Yashodanandana, Mother Yashoda's darling son, Gopal Krishna, the cowherd boy with his cowherd boyfriends, the Gopas, or Gopi Janabalaba. He's the dearly beloved of the gopis, the dear lover of the gopis. So, that's the foremost concern of Krishna. In Vrindavan, Krishna's concern is not to display vibhuti, opulences, aishvarya. No. His concern is to maintain the madhurya, the sweetness of everything. And Krishna is the most expert at lila madhuri, the sweetness of pastimes. So, he does things in Vrindavan in a way that seem ordinary, but then again, there's always Krishna's personal stamp on whatever he does, letting you know he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead without upsetting the vision of the residents of Vrindavan, who simply see him as their darling Krishna. They don't see him as God. Krishna is their everything, and their love for Krishna is the everything. That's the way Krishna wants it in Vrindavan. We were speaking this morning about how Devahuti, the mother of Kapila, she knew all about the opulences of her son. We spoke about how Devahuti and Kapila eternally relate on a Vaikuntha planet. But in Vrindavan, Mother Yashoda doesn't think her son is God. Krishna doesn't want her to think he's God because that would interfere with her parental affection, her vatsalya ras. When so many things would happen in Vrindavan that would seem to point to the divinity of her son, Mother Yashoda always had a good reason why things were actually not extraordinary. Other than the extraordinariness of her son, that she could accept, but not that her son was in any way a God. Just like the lifting of Govardhan Hill, Mother Yashoda would think, actually, Nanda Maharaj lifted the Govardhan Hill. There's no way my son could have done that. Nanda Maharaj did. And as far as the knocking down of the Yamala Arjuna trees, which concludes the Damodara Lila, Mother Yashoda said, no, little Krishna couldn't have done that. Strong winds came and knocked them down. So that was her vision, that there must be an explanation. Yes, my son is extraordinary. He has amazing powers, but he's still my son. In that way, she thought that I must feed Krishna, I must bathe Krishna. Now, how is it that the Supreme Lord is hungry? How is it that the Supreme Lord is dirty and needs a bath? But Mother Yashoda thinks Krishna's hungry. He's been playing in the forest with the cowherd boys so long, he has to be hungry. If he's not hungry, he's got to be dirty. I have to give him a bath. So, that is her mood of Shuddha Vatsalya Ras, pure parental love. This prayer, Damodarashtra, will teach you the essence of personalism in the most intimate section of the spiritual world. As you sing this prayer, your feelings, your natural feelings for the Supreme Personality of Godhead are aroused. And the memories that are there unconsciously of association with Krishna start to wake up, start to become revived. This song, as we said a couple of the morning of my arrival, this song or prayer is part of the Kartik Vrata, the vow to glorify Lord Damodar Hari during this special month, most intimate month, favorite month of the Vaishnavas. So every day you sing this song. And offer lamps. And do it in the morning. Many temples do it in the evening. You can do it both. You can sing this prayer all year round. Because it so perfectly captures Krishna in his intimate activity of surrendering to his devotees' love. Be real. Target of the Damodar Vrata or Kartik Vrata is Krishna's dearmost consort, Srimati Radharani, who is known as Urjeshwari, the queen of the Urja Vrata or Kartik vow. At the very end of the Damodarastic prayers, you get a hint of that. But in bhakti, our acharyas are very careful not to indiscriminately talk about Krishna's dearest devotee. for fear of the subject matter being filtered through people's material senses and mind. So therefore, only a hint is given in the last, in the eighth verse. Namo radhikayai tutiya priyayai. I offer my obeisances to the Lord's dearly beloved, Srimati Radharani. Namo nanta lilaya devaya tubhyam. I offer my obeisances unto the Lord's unlimited pastimes. Sanatan Goswami says that namo nanta lilaya devaya tubhyam, that offering of obeisances to the Lord's unlimited pastimes is a concealed reference to the Lord's most confidential Rasalila pastimes. But just to protect the confidentiality of those pastimes, it is just said, Namo Nanta Lilaya, I offer my obeisances to the Lord's unlimited pastimes. The whole point in perfect composition of prayers glorifying the Lord is that things always should end sweetly. So, in this prayer, just that has happened. Last prayer, number 8, ends things very sweetly and also with confidentiality. So that those who know, and those who are not meant to know, they don't know. Now, let us look into this nectar of Damodar Lila. Remembering that these prayers are glorifying Sri Sri Radha Damodar. That is the confidential meaning, and the obvious meaning is glorifying the Lord's relationship with Mother Yashoda. So, as we always explain every year, the first verse begins, Namam Ishvaram Satchidananda Rupam. Before you understand anything about Krishna, you have to understand him as the Ishvar, the controller. Otherwise, there's no point in going any further. So that's the very beginning of Sri Damodarashtic prayer. Understand the position of Bhagavan. Understand Bhagavad Dharma, the science of God. You have to equip yourself with conclusive, perfect knowledge of God. Then you can properly relish the Lord's pastimes. Therefore, you have the Krishna book, so wondrously given by Srila Prabhupada. There you get Leela and philosophy combined together. That is the extraordinary thing about reading the Krishna book. All the sweetness of the Leela is there, and the science of Bhagavad Dharma is intertwined with the Leela. Now, if you cannot understand Krishna as Ishwar, then there's no point in going further in the prayer. Because you won't appreciate how it is that the Lord binds everyone with the three modes of material nature. Yet, Mother Yashoda is going to bind him with a rope. But she's not going to bind him with exactly the rope. Bhakti Padam. The Lord is Bhakti Pada. He's bound by bhakti, by her love, not by the rope exactly. But as I said, in order to appreciate this binding, you have to appreciate that Krishna binds everyone. Through the modes of nature, particularly the lower modes as manifest today, people are bound by lust, anger, greed, madness, envy, and illusion. The six muggers that attack everyone. And in this particular part of Kali Yuga, people delight in those attacks. They actually feel very enlivened. Oh, lust, yes. Anger, oh, express your anger. Be aggressive, assert yourself. It's healthy to be angry when things don't go your way. Enviousness, oh, they think it's a very good thing to be envious. No one should have more than you. No one should be better than you. Try to make the other person's life miserable. Lust, anger, greed. Oh, yes. Have more, have more, have more. Madness, envy, illusion. People think that these things are the delights of life. When things become so degraded, it's difficult for people to understand Krishna consciousness. People think you are stopping life itself by your trying to purify lust, anger, greed, madness, and the illusion. You're practically becoming dead. You're taking away all life. They become very fearful. So, as we are explaining, first you have to understand how the Lord binds everyone with the three modes of material nature. That means understanding Bhagavad Gita. Because as Krishna explains in the Gita, there's no being anywhere in the three worlds who's not bound by the modes of material nature. So, he's the binder, yet he's going to be bound by Mother Yashoda. Therefore, first, namam Ishwaram Satchitananda Rupam. Let's understand the Ishwar, who controls, who binds, whose will cannot be thwarted. Then you can understand, or then you should move to understanding the body of that Ishwar. You have seen many Ishwars in this world. Everyone is always wanting to know who's in control, who has the power. But you haven't seen an Ishwar like Krishna, because Ishwar Krishna has no material body. He is Satchitananda Vigraha. His form is of eternity, knowledge, and bliss. So that you also have to understand. The Ishwar and the body of the Ishwar, which is not different from his self. Once you get all that clear, then you can move further. Otherwise, you can't. Just like in Bhagavatam, unless you have assimilated the 9 cantos, you cannot enter into the 10th canto. The smiling face of the Lord is the 10th canto. So, the second line of this first prayer goes to the face of the Lord. In other words, Sri Dharmadarastika is assuming you understand the science of Bhagavad Dharma. Therefore, right away, the prayer starts to glorify the face of the Lord. Lasa kundalam gokule brajamanam. The shark-shaped earrings are swinging from the Lord's ears, and they're kissing his cheeks. How did the earrings get such fortune? The earrings of the Lord are mixing with the effulgence coming from his form, and they're touching his cheeks. And where's all this happening? Gokul. It's happening in the Lord's intimate private abode. What is the scene? What is the theme that we should focus on? Yashoda, be up. Fear. Krishna is afraid of Mother Yashoda. This is what's going on. Meditate on the fear that Krishna has of Mother Yashoda, and meditate on Krishna's becoming conquered by his devotee's love, and meditate on Mother Yashoda's pure parental love, her pure Vatsalya Ras. She is going to subjugate Krishna, discipline him, and protect him. She is determined to do that at all costs. This fear Krishna has of Mother Yashoda puzzles and bewilders the greatest devotees. Queen Kunti expresses her bewilderment at this. In the first canto, she says, Bhaya Bhavanaya Stitasya. That situation of fear that Krishna has. When fear itself is afraid of Krishna, why is Krishna afraid of Mother Yashoda's stick? This fear situation bewilders me, Queen Kunti says. Uddhava expresses the same thing. And he's Mantri Raj. He's the chief of the Lord's advisors or counselors. He says, when I think of how Krishna is afraid of the stick of Mother Yashoda, I become bewildered. I lament. Why does Uddhava lament? Because he knows so many people will misunderstand Krishna. He laments for them. He's also lamenting for the disappearance of the Lord from ordinary vision. Uddhava knows the truth of the Lord's Leela. He knows how the Lord appears and disappears to ordinary vision. He knows how Krishna performs his pastimes in such a way as to attract the attention of the conditioned souls. The conditioned souls are love-starved, so Krishna shows them the most loving pastimes. Uddhava knows the whole show, so to speak. But still, he's caught up in it. He knows who Krishna is. He knows Krishna's Supreme Personality Godhead. He knows why Krishna's performing his pastimes. But still, he admits he gets caught up in it. The example I like to give is maybe a few times in your life you've seen a so-called really good movie or really good TV show, and then you saw it again. And even though you knew what was going to happen, you still got caught up in it. That happened. Yes. It was so good that even though you had seen the movie before, you still felt your heart being tugged and you got absorbed in it. So this is what Uddhava is talking about when he says, even I get bewildered thinking how Krishna just embodies all these contradictions. Fear itself is afraid of him, yet he's in fear of Mother Yashoda. These greatest souls are showing us how we should always be enthralled by Krishna's pastimes. They're showing us how we should always be captivated by what Krishna does and how Krishna does it. This first verse gives us information that there's fear of Mother Yashoda, and also Mother Yashoda is going to apprehend Krishna, who is running in fear from her. Paramishtam atyantato dutya gopya. How does she apprehend Krishna? From behind. Sometimes there's a thief and the thief runs after stealing something and someone chases the thief and catches the thief from behind, grabbing onto the coat of the thief. So that's how Mother Yashoda caught the butter thief, Mukunchor Krishna. She apprehended him like a law enforcement officer. Krishna was running in fear. Now, how does this pastime start in the Bhagavatam? Sri Shuka Uvacha Ekada Grihada Shishu Yashoda Nanda Gehini Kamantara Niyuktasu Nirmamanta Swayam Tati Yani Yani Hagitani Tad Bala Charitani Cha Tadi Nirmantane Kale Smananti Tan Yaga Yatra. Sri Shukadeva Goswami continued. One day, when Mother Yashoda saw that all the maidservants were engaged in other household affairs, she personally began to churn the yogurt. While churning, she remembered the childish activities of Krishna, and in her own way, she composed songs and enjoyed singing to herself about all those activities. Now, what we learn from the purport is that Mother Yashoda has an anxiety. Mothers are always an anxiety. It's part of parental care that mothers are always an anxiety about their children. In fact, I've noticed if they don't have a chance to be an anxiety about their children, then they feel that life is missing something. But just to be able to feel anxiety about the child is, you know, it gives the meaning to the life. So, Mother Yashoda, she's in anxiety about Krishna. Why does my child go to other people's houses and steal milk products? Why? What can I do to stop this? So then she had an idea. Nanda Maharaj, my husband, he has, amongst his unlimited herd of cows, he's got a special select group of cows. Very rare. And these select cows only eat special grasses. And because they only eat special grasses, their milk comes out with a very special flavor. I am going to take the special milk from those special cows. And I myself am going to make milk products. Now, ordinarily, she would have had her servants do that. But Mother Yasoda thought, I have to do this myself. I have to make sure the job is done right. I have to make sure that these milk products are the best, the tastiest, because that's the only way that Krishna is going to stop breaking into other people's houses and stealing. I myself will make the milk products. That way I know for sure that these milk products will be they'll be unsurpassable. So this determination is Mother Yashoda's parental love. That attitude, I'm determined to fix this situation by taking the situation in hand myself. This is her Vatsalya Ras, her parental love of Krishna. I have to take charge of this. I can't entrust this responsibility to my servants. I am his mother, and I'm going to solve this situation. Try to feel that determination she has. It is that determination that's going to ultimately bind Krishna. From Mother Yashoda's point of view, she's determined to be a mother. And what is Krishna's point of view? He's determined actually to submit to his devotee's love. So you have two visions here. Mother Yashoda's vision. My child will be properly disciplined and protected. And then you have Krishna's vision. I will submit to my pure devotee's love. I will submit to my pure devotee's determination. So in this Damodara Lila, you have the meeting of these two visions. And therefore, such ecstatic sweetness is produced. Mother Yashoda was churning the yogurt into butter. And while she was doing that, she was singing songs about Krishna that were in poetry form. Some of these songs the other gopis, elder gopis of the village had made. Some Mother Yashoda had made. So she was chanting, singing all these songs, just immersed in Krishna while she's churning the yogurt into butter. Particularly, she felt separation from Krishna, who was sleeping in another room in the house. But even though Krishna is there in her house, she's feeling the separation of not seeing him while he's sleeping. So while she's churning butter, she's singing these songs about Krishna to pacify her feelings of separation. This is how great her love is. This is how all attractive Krishna is. Just like in Vrindavan, when Krishna's dearest devotees, the gopis, they have to stay behind in the village all day when Krishna's in the forest with the cows and his cowherd boyfriends. And so the day seems endless for them, separation from Krishna. So Mother Yashoda also, she had Krishna in her house, but he was just in another room, sleeping. So while she was churning the yogurt into butter, she's feeling Krishna's absence intently. Where is this intensity of love in the material world? It's not there. Because there's material motive. Material motive corrupts the intensity of love, diminishes the intensity of love. In the material world, everyone is love-starved, but they can't just take, they're not able to taste the real thing because of material motives. But Mother Yashoda is far beyond any material motives. So she's feeling the full impact of Krishna being in her house, but he's in another room sleeping. So she sings songs about Krishna while churning to satisfy her mind, which can only be satisfied with Krishna. So then what happened? While she's singing to herself about the childish activities of her son, Krishna wakes up. And what does Krishna do? He wants to increase his mother's love. Krishna is known as Prema Vardhana. He's always acting to increase the love. So what does he do to increase the love of his mother and to increase the love of the devotees who eternally hear about this leela? He comes into the room and with his hand he grabs the churning rod and stops his mother from churning. So what did Mother Yashoda think? Oh, this boy is very clever. He wants affection and he knows how to get it. He stopped me from churning the yogurt into butter by grabbing hold of the churning rod. How intelligent and clever he is. She's not thinking he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. She's thinking my boy is very clever. So she understands that Krishna wants to be nursed. So she embraces Krishna and she puts Krishna on her lap and looking into his beautiful face, she begins to nurse him. Her sari is already wet with milk because as she was churning the yogurt into butter before Krishna stopped her, as she was churning, she had so much love for Krishna that milk was flowing from her breasts. So then when Krishna came and stopped the churning by grabbing the rod, she picked Krishna up, embraced him, sat him on her lap, and looked into his beautiful face, and then began to nurse him. And it was an exchange of love. She was loving Krishna by nursing him. The whole scene had been provoked by Krishna, who wanted to cause an increase in love. So you can just see Mother Yashoda nursing Krishna while looking into his beautiful face. Then Mother Yashoda realizes milk on the stove is boiling over. What to do? She puts Krishna down and goes to tend the milk boiling on the stove. Now, everything in her house is meant for Krishna's pleasure. Therefore, it was simply out of pure love that she put Krishna down and went to tend the milk on the stove. She was so focused on preparing the best milk products for Krishna to eat. Therefore, it was not leaving Krishna for her to put Krishna down and go to the stove. Everything in her house is directly 100% meant for Krishna's pleasure. Prabhupada in the Purport explains how a devotee is prompted by the Lord from within the heart how to do the right things in devotional service. Whether to do this now or that now, it's all for Krishna, so how do you choose? That's a wonderful life of a devotee when you're surrounded by service opportunities for Krishna. And then your prayer is, my dear Lord, please give me the intelligence to recognize what is the best thing I can do for you right now amongst the various Krishna conscious alternatives. So Mother Yashoda knew the best thing is I tend to this milk on the stove because it's all for Krishna to keep him from breaking into others' houses, to satisfy him at home. So she went. But as you know, Krishna got angry because he hadn't been fully satisfied by his mother nursing him. You say, what? How it is that he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but he's not fully satisfied. This dissatisfaction is not on the material platform. It is the nature of prema that one is always dissatisfied, even though one is satisfied. There's nothing material about that. You're fully satisfied, but you want more, so you're dissatisfied. It's just a deepening and deepening and deepening of the ecstasy. So Krishna wasn't, he didn't feel fully satisfied. He didn't feel that he had been nursed enough. So he became angry, started crying false tears this way, imitating a normal child. And then he took a stone and very quietly broke the churning pot. And then he reached inside the churning pot and scooped out the butter and went into another room, started eating it and feeding it to the monkeys. So Mother Yashoda returned from the stove and she saw the broken yolk churning pot and she began to laugh. She knew, there's no doubt, Krishna has done this. Now where is Krishna? He had gone to another room. So Mother Yashoda began to track him down. How does she track him down? By following his butter-smeared footprints on the floor, and by hearing the tinkling of his ankle bells, and by hearing some noises in the other room. So she followed those butter-smeared footprints, followed the sound of the ankle bells and other sounds. Her goal was to sneak up on Krishna so she could really punish him effectively. So she had a stick in her hand. She's very quietly coming into the room. The monkeys knew she was coming. The crows knew she was coming, so they all left the room out of fear. Krishna was watching over each shoulder as he was plundering some butter that had been hanging from the ceiling in a pot. He had climbed up on a spice grinding mortar so he could reach to the ceiling and pull down this pot hanging from the ceiling of butter. And so he was sitting on top of the mortar, distributing the butter to the monkeys. But then they all left. And Mother Yashoda's creeping up behind Krishna, and he's watching over each shoulder, and he sees her. He jumps down off the mortar, starts to run. And Mother Yashoda runs after him with a stick in her hand. And it's a big chase scene. A beautiful chase scene. The most beautiful chase scene. So many mundane movies always have chase scenes in them. Everyone, you know, gets so absorbed in the chase. But there's never been a chase like this one. And there's never been a chase so beautiful as Mother Yashoda chasing Krishna. Flowers are falling from her hair as she's running after him. She's got the perfect beauty. Perfect beauty in the Vedic standard is very thin waist, full breasts, full hips. So that was Mother Yashoda. So therefore, she couldn't run so fast. But she was determined. She's going to catch Krishna. So she's running and running. And then, Paramrishtam Atyantato Drutya Gopya. She catches him from behind. So tomorrow, we'll start speaking from the point of Mother Yashoda grabbing Krishna by his right hand and then Krishna wiping the tears from his eyes with his left hand and in doing so smearing the black mascara all over his face as he's crying and shaking. All right. Any questions? Thank you. No. A devotee becomes so absorbed in devotional service that the devotee forgets about the material body and its demands. That's what it will be like. You actually just forget you have a body. When you go to sleep at night, you forget you have a body. How many of you remember you have a gross material body when you go to sleep? You forget about it. If you remember anything at all, you get lost in the dream world with your dream body, but you forget about the body lying in bed. So forgetfulness is a very normal part of life. The non-devotee has forgotten Krishna and forgotten the advantage of devotional service, and the devotee forgets the material body and the demands of the material body. So it's not hopeless, it's not impossible. It's just a question of dedicated devotional service with sacrifice. Everyone should have an opportunity to, year in, year out, develop dedicated devotional service, because that is the only way you're going to forget that you have a material body and forget the demands of the body. Krishna will help you from within the heart. He says in Bhagavad Gita, Matasmritya Jnanam Apalam Cha, from me, sitting in your heart, come all knowledge, remembrance, and forgetfulness. Krishna helps you to forget your material desires. He helps the non-devotees to forget about devotional service. I don't want to hear about it. Got no time. Okay, I'm happy spirituality works for you. But I have other things to do. So yes, if you can, look at Krishna consciousness as a career and not as something you're doing because you're young, you're going through a certain phase, you got burned out in the party scene, and now you think, try bhakti for a while, see what happens. No, think in terms of a career development in Krishna consciousness, in which you're daily striving to chant the Hare Krishna mantra with attention, and you're studying the science of Krishna, and the culmination of that execution of bhakti yoga will be that you'll forget that you have a material body. If you forget you have a material body, that means you forget the demands of the body. And sure, even in your material life, you can remember times when you got so absorbed in something that you forgot where you were or what the whole world seemed to disappear as you became absorbed in doing something. That gives you a tiny perverted glimpse of what it's like to be absorbed in Krishna's service. So if by serving the shadow energy of the Lord, the Maya Shakti, you can become so absorbed that you forget where you are, what to speak of engaging in the service of the Lord's internal potency, His spiritual potency. The main problem is that devotees sometimes don't understand that what's so great about dedicating this short lifetime to Krishna's service. What's wrong with investing 30, 40 years of your life in Krishna consciousness? What is wrong? I wonder how many of you think 30 or 40 years I'll be chanting Hare Krishna, seeing the deities, serving Krishna, reading these books, 30, 40, 50 years. You might think, can I really do that? I mean, this is all I'm going to do for the rest of my life. But the subject matter for Krishna is unlimited and unlimitedly fresh. You see, Krishna's Satchinananda Rupa, his form of eternity, knowledge, and bliss, does not give a stable or fixed stimulus for your mind. No. His form is always changing in terms of freshness. The flavors that Krishna generates by his loving pastimes are ever fresh. So you will be enthralled easily for one lifetime, but to speak of eternity. So I'm always constantly trying to urge devotees to see Krishna consciousness as a lifetime development, not just as something they're doing because they're young, they didn't know what to do with themselves, they got bewildered, they got burned out, so might as well move into the ashram. No, see bhakti yoga as your life. And then the spiritual treasures of bhakti yoga will be revealed to you. Learn how to develop in Krishna consciousness. Don't make the mistake of thinking that you have to progress yourself, develop yourself in the material energy. In Krishna consciousness, all we do is chant and read and all that. What about me? What am I going to do in this world? No, there's so much to do in Krishna consciousness. And always be eager to acquire the skills necessary for improving your service. Push forward. Be eager to offer Krishna better and better service. Alright. Thank you very much. Thank you.